All right, here we are. Matthew 7. Starting at verse 7. Now, I went over this before in some real, real full detail, but it's a different message this time, so I'm going somewhere else. But we if you remember, we went over to starting at verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. Whatever judgment you judge will be will measured back to you again. Mm-hmm. Why behold with the mote in your brother's eye and not see the beam in your own eye? Right? I mean, we went through the whole thing. And then he went on to say, you hypocrite, first get the beam out of your own eye, then you can see the little splinter in your brother's eye. Then he went on to say, don't give that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before a swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. And we did all of this before in a previous message. Don't ask me the name of it. I don't remember. But just that whole layout or that whole foundation, I like to just kind of preface this with this just to wake my fam up a little bit, if that's all right with y'all. Mm-hmm. When you look at stuff like this, when you look at stuff like Proverbs, it looks like Jesus is just rambling, if you really think about it. Like, he's just jumping from one point to another. Like, Jesus just standing up there just saying a bunch of heavy stuff. He's just being deep and just spouting off deep stuff. So you go to some churches, pastors will get up there, and they'll just spout off a bunch of stuff that don't connect with each other, and you don't know what the message was at the end. You just picked one part that made you get excited and dance around and then go home. And I used to sit in church, and I'm not saying this to be funny or to make fun of pastors and what they do. That's not my point. But I remember, like some people here, I would sit in those services and I would walk out and I would go, so what did I learn today? What was the point? They said, oh, he preached, didn't he? I'm like, the gymnastics was good. You know, I like the aerobics. When the music started playing, everybody started dancing around. It was entertaining to watch homegirl try to keep a wig from falling off while she was so-called having the Holy Ghost. Like, you got the Holy Ghost, I thought she was, like, in another realm. Like, how's she holding on to her hair? You know, and all these kind of things. You know, this is just me. Am I the only person? I would go there for the entertainment. I would go there to watch. Oh, boy, but here comes Sister Loopsy Loops. She's going to do that little dance. And then he had this one guy who he did to James Brown. He did it so good. And he did the little slide and everything. It was the Holy Ghost, though. So, you know, I guess James Brown had the Holy Ghost. My point is, I would go there to be entertained by the theatrics and the foolishness that I saw. And when I say that, because I say foolishness, because even as a not yet real believer, I was there for the fun of it. You understand that? I was there for the entertainment. And I remember being young and my godparents dragging me to church. And then they would leave the church. And right after the church, they weren't talking about anything that had to do with church other than, did you see what such and such was wearing? And it was this kind of mess. So my impression of church when I became a teenager was, the last thing I ever want to be in life is a Christian. That was my thing. That if there's anything in life I would ever be, if I had to choose a religion, if I was standing in front of the Almighty and he said, pick one, the last one I would ever pick was a Christian. Because of the foolishness that I saw. So when I began to study the Word of God on my own, I started messing with it a little bit when I got saved, before I ever joined the church. This is when Jesus saved me in my living room. And I remember sitting there and reading the Bible and just being amazed at the depth of what was being said and how lightly church folk took it. My point is this. Church folk, tell me if you agree with me or not, have a tendency to lean toward the sayings that are not biblical over the sayings that are. He may not be there when you want him, but he's right on time. God knows how much you can bear. God won't put more on you than you can stand. All these things that you actually thought were scriptural because they were being said in church, but they had no biblical basis at all. They were just sayings and cliches. Well, sometime when God closed the door, he opened a window. So God want me to climb out the window when I can just walk out the door? None of this stuff made sense to my young questioning mind. Somebody here other than me got a question in mind? You can't just tell me it is. You got to explain to me why. Me, come on, let me see. Who here? Inquiring minds want to know, right? Don't just tell me because the Bible say so. Where? Trust me, it's in there. So you don't even know. So here was my point. When I started reading this stuff, I started saying, Jesus, you say a lot of random stuff. Does it tie together? Does it have a meaning at some point that's beyond just deep words or things that make me go, I can quote that and sound deep too. So I begin to notice that he started off without saying don't judge. Then he said, you're a hypocrite if you judge and you're not checking yourself. Well, that made sense. Then he jumped into don't give that which is holy to dogs. And now you're on a different subject, or are you? Because he's talking about judgment. And judgment is righteous or unrighteous. It's fleshly or spiritual. And if I start trying to judge someone, are you listening? Yeah. Say, I'm listening. If I start trying to judge someone with God's principles who are not godly in their state of mind or heart, that's giving that which is holy to a dog because they're not going to receive it. You ever start talking about your faith and all of a sudden they want to turn it into an argument? And religious idiots or non-believers would say, best way to start an argument is to start talking about religion. The best way to start an argument with somebody who ain't caring about God and don't want to hear about God is to start talking about God. But you usually don't start an argument with somebody if they're trying to learn. I ain't saying if they're religious. I'm not saying if they go to church. I'm saying if they trying to learn and know more about God like you are. And you begin to talk to them about the way you see things, and then they'll begin to say, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but then there's none the other. Now, me and Brother Woody was talking last week, and Woody shared a thing, and I'm not going to go into the details, but I said, well, Woody, yeah, but you got to watch. He said, no, that's a figure of speech. I'm saying this, and then we went back and forth, blah, 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 yeah, but da-da-da-da-da-da. And it was just a good conversation. We were feeding off each other's vibe. It wasn't mano-y-mano, I know more about Jesus than you do, and words, so you shut up and you listen to me. No, you listen to me. No, we exchanged differences of view from what we understood. At the end, I walked away with something. You walked away with something. I don't know if you see it my way yet or if I see it your way yet, but we walked away from it. Good. That it doesn't turn into an argument when you have people who both want to know about God, who want to grow in God, who want to expand their horizons in God, who have not concluded they already know it all. So, when he says don't give that which is holy to the dogs, he's saying don't waste your time trying to give filet mignon to a dog. They can't eat that. Dog can't eat a peanut butter sandwich. I know that's a side journey, but just trust me, they can't. Don't give them one. It gets stuck all up in their mouth and they go for the rest of the day. Just don't do it, right? I know, I tried, don't do it. When I was a kid, I would just share my peanut butter sandwich with my dog. I didn't know I was causing the dog grief and harm. I didn't know. No, I was trying to be nice. You know, I was showing some love. I had to dig in the dog mouth and pull the stuff out and ugh. So don't give holy stuff to the dogs. So here's my point. I know, that's all off the point, but you'll get my point. I'm establishing something here. So then when you get to verse 7, he starts on this other journey that I was, I guess, in my heart saying, God, how does this now tie in? You just told me, don't judge. You told me, don't be like a hypocrite, fix my own stuff first. Then you told me you don't give to holy things to dog because they turn on you and attack you after you're trying to help them out. Then it goes on in verse 7 said, asking it will be given to you, seeking you shall find, knocking the doors will be open unto you. And some people will take that one verse and just want to do a sermon, and I will absolutely not do that. Because then he goes and say, for everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and anyone who knocks, the door shall be open. Now, let's just take that for a second before we go to the next verse. Because this is not a sermon by itself, even though people have made it that. It's all about asking and seeking and getting and getting, asking God for stuff and getting and asking and receiving and getting and getting and receiving and asking some more, right? Well, for those who never received and they keep doing that, at some point you should come to the reality that God don't like that. You're just thinking that he's your Alfred, your butler, your genie, and you just keep asking him for stuff and he just keeps giving it. And there's times that you're in a situation, and in God's love, mercy, and grace, listen to me close, God will move on your behalf, and he will answer your prayer, and he will grant you that even insignificant thing because he just wants to comfort you like a father would, but a good father. But if you start to believe that that is the core of the relationship, you will find yourself somewhere in your walk in this very lonely, disappointing, unanswered prayer place. Because God began to go, okay, now wait a minute now. You think this is like you just do what you want to do and you just ask me for you want what you want to ask me for and I'm just obligated to do that now. So you've really misplaced this relationship. The relationship's a covenant relationship, and listen, in a covenant relationship, be it marriage, as Jeff was talking, or friendship or whatever, only so much asking you going to do with me before I start asking for something back.
That's right.
Okay, come on now. Am I telling the truth? Sooner or later, hello, it's not a relationship if all you're doing is taking. It's not a covenant. It's all I'm doing is helping you. You always calling me up for counsel. You always depressed. Every time you call me, you depressed. You bring me down a little. I bring you up a little. I wind up losing. You wind up gaining. And then you call me back a week later, and we right back where we started from. I know I better not call you depressed because I'm going to go all the way down because that's what you bring to the game. You're laughing because you know somebody. You better not be ever going through anything and call them because you know where that's going. You're going to go jump off the roof when that's over. So, he's saying ask, seek, knock. Now, here's what I've heard people do with that. The original word in Greek, ask, is not a single word. I mean, it's not a singular purpose word. It's not ask. The correct translation in English would be asking. But asking and you receive doesn't make sense, so the translators made it ask. But the word is really asking. So the correct translation would be keep asking or ask and keep asking. It denotes a consistency. It speaks of a place where you ask comfortably and repeatedly without ever feeling any sense of inferiority in the asking.
Ah.
Did that help somebody?
Yeah.
So God said, come to me saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Please help me. God said, that's not the ask and you should receive I'm talking about. Let you sit with that a minute. Let that marinate.
Yeah.
As Jerome and Rome say, let that marinate. Let it marinate. Now, when you ask comfortably, not repeatedly, badgering repeatedly. Got it? Well, you know, you got to keep asking God, come on, God, please, come on, God. When are you going to move, God? Come on, God, I've been asking you for weeks. Come on. That's not the kind of repeat ask it's saying. Are you with me in spirit? It's the asking position of, I know I can come to you, and I know I can talk to you, and I know I can bring the subject up, and I know I can bring it up again, and it's not a problem. Is this helping somebody? So there are people in life you have that relationship with. I ask you for something, and you say, and I don't respond right away. Come on, stay with me. And I don't respond right away. Somebody ask you for something, you don't respond right away, and their feelings get hurt.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
They're upset with you now. I text you and you didn't even text me back. I didn't see it. I didn't see it. Well, check your phone. I text you. That's not the ask that it's talking about. Then somebody who has that relationship that I'm talking about with you will say, watch this. You're listening, you're listening, you're listening, you're listening.
Yeah, yeah.
I text you. Did you see your text messages? Because I know if you didn't respond, either you didn't see it or you just didn't get to it or you saw it and you forgot about it. Because I know our relationship knows that you got it. And if you didn't respond, something came up because you would never intentionally ignore me. Because I know you would never intentionally ignore me. Because I know you would intentionally never ignore. I'm talking about God right now. So I know that if I ask and I didn't get a response, I can asking again and again. Because I know you didn't intentionally ignore me. Maybe you're putting things in place so that you can bring the manifestation of that. Maybe I didn't ask with the right heart yet and you're waiting to see a change in me. Maybe there's something else I need to be bringing to this conversation, God. But I know you would never intentionally ignore me. So when we see this, ask and you should receive. Matthew chapter 7:7, if you just get in here. Seek and you shall find. Same thing, seeking, asking, seeking, knocking is the word. So basically to make it right in English would be keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and the door shall be open. So I asked the Lord and I didn't get a response. Ask again. Saints, ask again. Ask again. Change your tone. Put on something different. Whatever the case may be, come back to God and say, okay, God, maybe I asked, but maybe I didn't ask what you wanted from me in this process. So let me ask again. And is there anything you need me to do to see the manifestation of this? Am I helping somebody?
Oh, yeah.
In my life right now, asking, seeking. God, I looked where you told me to look. Look again. Mm-hmm. You ever look for something and right look over, look right over it and look, I can't find it. And you go back and it's right where you looked the first time.
Yeah.
Seek again. What? Why you didn't look there? Because you didn't pay attention to the fact that this happens to me so many times. I just had my phone. And I got off the bed and folded the cover back. And there it is, right where I left it. I left it right here. Yeah, before you folded the cover back.
Right, right.
Then I go get my iPad and there it is. But why didn't you pull the cover back if you knew you left it there? Keep seeking.
Amen.
Don't get frustrated because you think you followed God's instruction and you didn't see what you expected to see the first time you looked. If this blessing, you say, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, these are simple things that we just kind of go through life. We read a verse, something deep Jesus said, but we don't allow God to illuminate for us that, watch this. You, are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. Our triune spirit, just like God. And man doesn't get that. God's Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You body, soul, spirit. You made three, and you got three voices that speak to you, and you have to learn to decipher which is the voice you need to be hearing. Because the voice of the soul is loud to the person who feeds their soul all the time. And I've had people talk to me and say, you know, Pastor, I'm just having a problem with lust. I don't know what's going on in my life, and I'm trying to, and I'm like, what do you watch on TV? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? What do you watch on TV? What are you watching? I'm not saying, oh, don't ever watch that. No, I'm not doing that. But I'm saying you got to be mindful of how much of something you feed into your spirit.
Yeah.
Because you, I can tell a sister who watched Real Housewives or whatever.
Woo!
Yeah, everything got Oh, I'm like, oh boy, you watch, and you watching the ones with the black sisters too, aren't you? You know, it's you can tell who people hang around from their conversation. You can tell what people listen to and how they focus on things. Just listening to them for a little while. It doesn't take a long time of listening. You can tell. Well, you got an opinion, and then you got this. And I'll say this gently because I don't want to step on nobody's toes. But then you got those people that are so touchy whenever you go against their opinion because they don't really know what they believe. So they so offended. Oh, you're trying to take my world from me. Like, if it's your world, can't nobody take it. Just relax and let that person have their view. It's okay. It's okay. Remember we prayed last week, we vowed that we would not walk in offense. Did somebody try to offend you this past week?
Yes.
Told you. The enemy, he's consistent. He keeps knocking and keeps seeking. We have to be consistent on the same level. If I'm seeking peace, I have to keep doing it. I try to be peaceful, but I just couldn't take, after just the day of that, I just could take it no more. No, you got to keep being peaceful. Right? You got to keep going. You got to keep, come on, babies. Keep asking, seek, keep seeking, not keep. Now, I try to be patient. Try again.
Amen.
And again.
Yeah.
And again. And again. And you know what happens? It becomes customary to be patient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Try not to be offended.
Yeah.
And it becomes your lifestyle not to be offended.
Yeah.
Try not to be confused and try again and seek again and ask. And it becomes normal for you just to not react to what people say. Like, well, okay. And I did it. Okay. Me and Kwame coming down the street the other day from picking up the turkeys. And this guy is walking across the street, not watching where he's going, looking back or whatever he was trying to look at. And he walked out into the street against the green light. So I tooted my horn at him and he turned around, you know, like this. Now, if I was still in that place that God, if I hadn't made the vow, I would have opened the window and said, you stupid, you're just walking against the light, you need to watch what you're doing. I reached over and I pushed the window and this rolled down and he stood and he stopped and he braced himself like what? I said, bro, I think you need to watch where you're going. You're walking out against the light. Somebody could have come up beside me and run you over. I didn't say all that, but I just said enough to him to know you need to watch where you're going. And he went, oh. And he kind of looked like a little jerk and walked away. Like, you ready to fight. So you want this to turn into something because that's what you're sending out. I'm just trying to say, brother, I don't want to be responsible for running you over. That's all. I don't want that on me. If somebody else run you over and that's what you want, God bless you. But I don't want to, just don't make me a part of that. I don't want to be a part of the running you over. You follow what I'm saying? Brother, you just need to watch what you're doing. You know, you got to watch where you're going. Oh. So here's the point. I'm practicing now not being offended. I'm practicing now not responding to your spirit when you want to throw a negative spirit at me.
Amen.
You better listen to Pastor today. Because people try to pull you into their world. I'm miserable. You got to come in here with me. I'm upset. You got to come over here where I am. No, I don't. No, I don't. I choose to keep seeking the path of peace. I choose to keep asking for God's direction and wisdom in the things that I do. I'm going to say that one more time because I'm going to move on to the next verse. I choose to keep knocking on the doors to seek the answers that God has for me. Believe me when I say this, and you'll know I'm telling the truth. We are too easily discouraged and frustrated at God and the things of God. A lot of church folk don't want to admit that. Oh, no, I love me the Lord. Oh, yeah, but God get on your nerves too easy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Come on, Pastor.
And if God showed you the patience you show him, hell would be your home tomorrow. Real talk. Real talk. God, I mean, sometimes God had to say to me, who you sucking your teeth at? No? No? Never? Oh, okay. So I'm learning, God, I'm asking you for patience. I need to be patient. I'm asking you for mercy. I need to show you some mercy. See, people are like, show God mercy. Yes! Show God some mercy. Be nice. Be patient. You ain't never let me down before. I ain't no sense me getting upset with you today. Let that marinate a minute. Okay, so let's move on. So did I beat that in enough? I could go another half hour, but I'm gonna leave that. Now, he goes on in verse 8, says, for everyone that keeps asking, now that you understand, receives. And everyone who keeps seeking finds, and to him that keep knocking, people say the door should be open. It didn't say the doors, it said it should be open. And I make a point of that for a reason. Because you know how church spoke, knocking the door should be open unto you. Haven't you not heard that preached? It says it. It doesn't say the door. What? Yeah. And what does open mean? Available and?
Access.
Access and? Oh, no, because the door's open. You got to go get it. Okay, stop trying to get deep. Don't try to get all spiritual. This is Jesus having a regular conversation with regular people. He was saying, let me see if I can get deep and mystify you with confusion. He's having a regular conversation. He said, knock and it shall be open. When something is open to you, it is what? Is there? Is available? I'm looking for something else. You just said a word there. I don't know what realm. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. I'll tell you, I don't, explain that a little bit. I'm trying to mess with you. Okay, I like that. I'm still looking for another word. Huh? Granted is good. Another word I'm looking for. Yes, you're see, you're thinking about getting stuff. As your mind is like going in and stuff and getting stuff. Okay. Now she said not close. If something is open to you, it's revealed. That's why I'm the pastor. It's revelation. If something is close to you, don't understand it. When it's open, it's revealed. Oh, just like when I said that to you, you all went, oh, me saying the word revealed made it revealed. It's revealed. When God opens something to you, you understand it.
Amen.
You got it? You understand it. Once you understand it, you're no longer frustrated or confused or running around. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, my God. Oh, I get it now. I may not be there yet, but at least it's revealed to me. I know the path that I need to walk. Thank you, God. Can somebody relate? And we so often look for the actual physical manifestation as proven by all of your answers. You don't think that the beginning of the manifestation is in the revelation. Look at somebody say, Pastor reads. Let me say this to you. When I saw it should be open, I went and looked up what something meant to be open. And those are some of the things that came to my spirit. Revelatory. Revelation. Insight. Increased awareness, a correction of an inability, all that is something opened to you. If you couldn't lift that weight before and you practice, and then this week you can, you've opened to another level. You've entered into a different space. So when you said realm, I was like, explain more, because like I thought you was going there, but you were close though. It was good, but it wasn't where I was trying to take us. You get what I'm saying? The truth is in this. When you ask, it's revealed. And in the revelation, Seek wisdom, and all you're getting, get wisdom, and in wisdom, get your understanding. That's what the book of wisdom talks about in Proverbs. It says, get wisdom, get revelation. It's to be desired over silver and gold and anything that you can ask for. This is more important, wisdom and understanding. So when you ask and it's revealed, wisdom, understanding is unleashed to you. Now what you're facing is no longer a struggle.
Amen.
Got it? Yes. Now when I go to the next verse, it makes more sense. It's not asking, God, I'm hungry. God, I want to raise on my job. God, can you please make my son stop hanging out all night? That's asking for a fix. That's not asking for the divine power to be released in your life to flow like God and do the things that God does. The works that I do, you should do also, and greater works than these shall you do. Church is not asking to do the greater works. They're asking God to just can I please pay my rent? Or get a new car. I was believing God for this new jet. Okay, so now you got the jet. Now what? Now you're making a statement, but let me tell you something. I know a couple of people that have jets, and let me tell you this. Insurance is the least of their issues. You can't pull up in the street and find a parking spot and park it. You got to now pay for space every month to park it, and then you got to pay for the maintenance for everybody to make. Because, you know, it ain't a tire don't just fly off. It fall out the sky. So this is a big deal. And then you got to have a pilot that you have to have on salary that you pay even when you're not flying it. Fuel, we didn't have to throw the fuel yet. That's the smallest of the bills. You understand what I'm saying? So what? You got stuff. But that wasn't the point. You took me down a whole different road, so let me come back to where we were. The point is, the freedom or growth in God comes in revelation. So when you stood up here and you talked about my expectation is different. Well, you didn't just strip and fall into expectation. Revelation, insights being open to you, made you able to expect differently, right? So the freedom for you came in the revelation. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you
free.
That's what he means when he says, and it will be opened. Got it? Even before it manifests. Yes, Mike, absolutely. Because the truth, the freedom is not in the really getting it in hand. The truth is really in the confidence that I know what I need to do to make it happen. You could find peace without even receiving the reward once you know. People get upset because they feel confused and don't know how to do what they think they're called to do. That's what you're upset about. Listen, if you don't have the money to pay your rent, but you know what to do to go get it, you ain't worried about it. You don't worry about that stuff when it's available and you know what you need to do. When it's closed to you, when you have no option in your mind that you can think of to make this thing work, is when panic comes in. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's
true. Man, I could stop right here. I mean, I think that was the message. But this next part is so important that I can't just drop it there. Because then he goes on to explain, listen to me, don't start reading yet. You're cheating. Because then I need to make sure when you read the next verse, you really see the connection, okay? Because he goes on to explain the necessity to have the confidence, the peace, faith, and relationship to ask and keep asking and trust that God will never deny you intentionally. But then he goes on to tell you from the heart of a father what kind of how he feels about or how he treats you coming to him with this consistency. So then he goes on to say, so what man is there of you whom, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much less?
Nope.
Oh, what, huh? How much more? Right? Shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to those who ask him. Stop. Whew. Okay. Seatbelts on. We're about to enter some turbulence. Now, if you and your funky, stink, sinful behind, by instinct, if you any sane parent, I ain't talking about no crazy wacko, desire to do good for your children, how much more? Say more. Now, because just based on our earlier conversation, I know you start thinking about more stuff. Let me make sure I rein you in quick. More insight, more direction, and more stuff. Let's think about this. When I saw how much more, first thing I said is, God don't have to take out a loan to do nothing for me. God don't have to ask anybody or call anybody and get connected with somebody to see if he could connect me with somebody to do something for me. So the more is not necessarily in things and trinkets. The more is in the abundance of availability and resource. God is not resourceless in any situation. So you may think if I just had another $1,000 or $5,000 or $50,000 for me, it's like $500,000 for what I'm doing. And maybe a couple million because I just would like a couple million. I just like the numbers and eventually maybe some billions. But my point is this. It's not about the access to the money. It's the access to the resources that could get you the things you need. What am I saying? You can ask for $5,000, $5 million, $5 billion. But, I mean, if you just ask because you're just greedy and you just want stuff, you're asking for the wrong reason. That's why you're going to say ask again and keep asking until you're asking for the right reason. You're asking the wrong question for the wrong reason, and God's not going to respond to that. I don't have to teach you that. You already know it if you've been live more than 10 years. You've asked God for things again and again and again, and God's, But ask again. How many of you are iRobot? Remember iRobot? That is not the right question. Remember he kept saying, that is not the right question. I'm only programmed to answer certain questions. What is this? That's not the right question. When I'm with God, I feel like that sometimes. I'm asking from the wrong place, and I'm asking for the wrong spirit. And he said, that, listen to me, is not the right question. It's not the right question. You're not coming from the right place, and you're not asking from the right place. Not that, oh, you're so sinful, and I hate the way that you're asking that. That's not God. He's saying, I need you to understand the motivation of why I want you here, and it's not where you're coming from. We're not on the same page. I want to build a building. You want to build a bridge. So you're asking for the wrong reasons. Ask again. And every time you ask, I don't know if you're ready for this, but it's you still need to hear it. You ready? That didn't sound like. You ready?
Yes.
Every time you ask God for another level of insight, he has to challenge you. I ain't talking about that new level, new devil, church bull crap. Satan ain't got nothing to do with this. This is you and God. He has to then say, okay, so you ready to take this class then? I need to challenge you. He might come against you in the area of pride. He might come against you in the area of selfishness. God has been speaking to me lately, saying to me, you have too much stuff. You need to clean out your houses. And my houses are not junky. It's room. Everything is clean. You walk through it, it looks neat. But I got too much stuff. And some people might say, oh, give me some of it. You don't want it. It's old, antiquated, a lot of stuff that don't need to be had by nobody, nowhere. I just have it because I got it, and it's mine, and it's. I remember when I couldn't have stuff, and so here it is. Can you use it? No. I got computer wires and stuff that go from computers back as far as 286s. Nobody can use it ever, but I still have a box full of this stuff. Hard drives that was a big deal when it had 500 megs. 250 megs, hard drives, you know, stuff. It's like, what do you have? You got plugs that will fit no computer ever in the world, ever again. Get rid of this stuff. But you're not, do it up on a shelf, because one day you may need it. Come on. People got clothes that you ain't been with since you was 18. Give them to an 18-year-old. You're not fitting them again. And even if you can, you shouldn't be wearing it. Just let it go. Just let it go. So God has been showing me, you got so much stuff. Stuff. If you ever had to move, it would cost you more to move than it cost you for the house. Just get rid of some of this stuff. I went in my shed, and it's just stuff. Plumbing parts, wires and cables. We cut it off of there, and I was amazed to look at that cable. Wow, I never saw a cable like that, and there it is in the box. Just junk. So God's been saying to me, clean house. Now, this is not saying because you're in sin, and this is evil what you're doing, and I can't bless you till you're clean. But it's a blessing to me to receive a simple word like that from my Father and obey it. Check your tone when you say certain things. I thought I checked my tone. Okay, we're going to check 5.0. Check again. Yeah, you did better this, but right here you still could check that. So when we were here in the meeting, I'm going to go into details, and the person asked me for a certain thing, and I said no, and I started to go to, and you was, Mike, you were saying, come on, show mercy, let it go. I was like, I wasn't in an unmerciful place. I wasn't bitter or angry or anything. I was saying, okay, the situation presented itself. Lord, how can I use this to encourage the people and help somebody out? That's where my mind was. You're like, oh, my God, he's going in. No, I was not. I'm so not there in this season of my life. I'm like, okay, you put it out there in front of everybody. Let's see how we can turn this around to God's glory. Oh, Lord. Let's see how we can use this to help somebody else. But that's where I am in this season. Stuff that you think I'm bothered by, I'm not bothered by. Stuff you think I may be offended by, I'm really not offended by. I may ask you, why did you say that? I don't get that. I'm not trying to diss you. I really don't understand what's going on in your silly head. Sometimes it just don't click for me. Help a brother out. You understand? That's the place I am in my life right now. I'm in the best place in my life that I've ever been in 58 years of living. I never felt so good about my existence. If I die tomorrow, I'll be like, God, I'm good. I know I'm not going to because he told me stuff I need to do, and I'm going to do it. But I'm just telling you, it's just nice to be in a place where, God, I'm getting to the place where I'm starting to let stuff that used to bother me and get under my skin and irritate me and frustrate me. If it frustrates me and frustrates me for a minute, I'm like, what am I doing this for? I was going to use a Boondocks reference, but I don't think people are ready for it. Ask me after church, I'll tell you what I was thinking. But, hey, remember that? They was arguing each other. You know, right? Hey, wait a minute. You know where I'm at, right? So ask me later, I'll tell you. Anyway, the bottom line is this. When we start recording, it's not profane, but I'm just being sensitive. So anyway, see, I'm changing, Mike. I'm changing. I'm being sensitive. So here's my point. Huh. My point is this. I don't know what my point is. I remember what the... The point is this. We grow. We mature. We ask. And we start to look at God and you say, God, as a father, you care. So because you care, I got to think of myself and how I care. And on the level that I do care, on the level that I do try to be more understanding, you're listening to me now?
Yeah.
How many of you are trying to be a little more understanding at this phase of your life? You are, right? You realize it. Come on. I've been a little bit of an a-hole, right, at times. I could be a little better, yes? Yeah, sometimes. Come on. You nodding at me? You're talking that? I don't know what that look means. That look has so many meanings. All of it. Okay. Oh, you okay? I was thought you were talking about, wait a minute now. You're talking about yourself. I don't know. I don't know what that meant. But anyway, you get the point, right? You get to that place where you start to mature. God don't have to mature. God don't have to become more sensitive. God doesn't have to figure out where he is now and what he needs to become. He's already that. You got this? You get the love of God. You get where I'm going. Now, God just took that and compared it to me on my level and said, if you, with your limited ability to love and be sensitive, will do good things for your children, how much more, because I don't have those limitations you have and those things that I need to overcome that you do and those issues with attitude and frustration that you have, how much more would I give as your father to you if you ask me right? All of that just to go there. But I think it was worth the journey, wasn't it? We got a few good laughs. We had some fun with it. Here's my point. God is saying, you ask me and keep asking. Now, parents in the house, can I get a wave or something? All right. You got kids come and ask you for something? And it's not that you don't want them to have it. It's not that you wouldn't freely give it to them. It's you don't like the way they asked. They asked you like they were entitled or like they owed you or they got you in a circle of people and try to ask you and put you on the spot. My point is, my response was, if you had just put me aside and asked me, the answer would have been yes. But you tried to get slick about it, thought you were asking me in front of people and put me in an embarrassing situation, and I don't get embarrassed that easy. Answer is no. So there we have it. You understand what I'm saying? It was right. Come on, chump change. I wouldn't even missed it. My point is this, and what y'all couldn't see that I could see, I'm so glad he's not here. What and I know he don't watch the messages when he's not here. Pray for me, because I feel good. I feel at peace. Shondo. Here's what I'm saying. The look, which you couldn't see, but from where I was sitting, I could see, was like, I got you now. It was this kind of look, yeah, see what you're going to do with this. And it was like, when kids try to do that to you, your kids try to do that to you, like, okay, well, I'm going to go ask mom. Okay. He can relate. He gave the look. He said, "Don't try." So he gave the look. No, he gave me the nod of approval. I got it. I felt. Here's what I'm saying. God's like, so you trying to manipulate me? Oh, so you gonna come and quote a scripture? To God. And try to manipulate me? You gonna say, in the name of Jesus? Are you gonna try to use Jesus on me? So you're going to try to play me against Jesus and Jesus against me? Ask again. Ask again. See, you're getting quiet now. You got that pain, like constipation look on your face. You know, we've done it. Ask again. Ask again. Why? He said, because as a father, I'm willing to do that for you and much more. But I need your heart right. Wouldn't you do it for your kids? Yeah. Well, think about my heart and how much you love your kids and magnify that as many times as you can magnify it as long until your calculator runs out. And that's my love for you. You don't need to play games. You don't need to manipulate me. You just need to ask me. And if you ask me and you don't get the response you thought you should get, don't be offended by that. Come back again. Remind me. Bring it back up. God is not impatient with you where you're going to go, okay, if you ask me one more time. Ask me one more. He's not going to do that. Ask again. And eventually, it'll get into the place of importance that it should be, or move from the place of the importance that it shouldn't be. And then you'll ask, and before the words get out your mouth, God will respond. That's a good place to do that. That's a good place to do that. So as Daddy's been speaking to me, honey, I keep taking your iPad and trying to put my thumb on it like it's mine. Yeah, this is her. Yeah, my iPad just decided to go to sleep on me and not wake up. It's like, I'm done with you. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what I did to offend you. Man, I'm so used to now doing it with the thumb, I forgot how you put the thing in now. Okay, there it is. And now I'm getting ready to put in my password. So, have we learned something today so far? He's saying, ask me. And in the asking, in the seeking, in the knocking, and it being open, listen to me. There's a growth process taking place. There's a maturity taking place. There's an education going forward in this process. So if you just hear people say, ask the Lord and you receive. Just if you have not because you ask not, ask and you should receive. And they just give it to you like that. Oh, and by the way, sow a special seed. Because if you sow a seed, and especially if you bless the man of God, God go, okay, see, now you're just perverting it into something really, really fleshly and earthly with no real power. The real power is in the covenant. The real power is in the relationship. God is trying to create a deeper relationship. Keep asking. Keep coming, keep knocking, keep seeking, keep calling on me. I'm not irritated by you reaching out again and again. I want us to get closer. I want you to ask more questions. I want there to be a deeper relationship. But if you're going to ask one time and it don't go your way and you get upset and you walk away, then that's why you don't get the answers to the prayers. So he said, if you being of evil or evil nature, it says in the original language, if you being of an evil nature, sinful nature, know how to give good gifts unto your children. You just know you're supposed to do that. Now, I got to make this because this is another point I have here. If you being of evil nature, know how to do good for your children. Stay with me. How many of you remember your first baby, mothers? Remember your first baby? You remember the fear and trepidation that tried to haunt you because you had no idea how to be a mother and how to take care of a baby and how to raise a child and how to feed them? And what if I'm not tender enough? I might break their arm. They're so little. And you had all these little fears, right? And then they were born, and you looked at them, and all those fears went away. And all of a sudden, it was opened. You knew what to do. Instinctively, naturally, you said it naturally, you knew what to do. You fell in love with somebody you just met. And you knew it was your duty to take care of them. They just want the kitten all over them all the time. They don't know what that means yet. But you just felt this need to just, oh, I see that the mother's responding. You just felt this need. Now, you don't have to be a mother. You can be an aunt or uncle or parent. And you see that baby for the first time, and you didn't birth it. And you feel, I just want to hold them and kiss them and take them. I'm going to buy them. So when they get big, I'm taking them out. I'm buying them everything. Right? You know, you just feel this need. You instinctively know. Listen to me. To protect. To cover. To provide for. And to keep safe. This thing. And God said, if you with your stink behind know how to do that, how much more do I know how to do that for my kids? If you got that just by instinct, how much more do you think I know how to take care of you? I saw Israel when I was over at Markel's house last time. He picked up the iPhone and he went over to the wall to plug it in. And I yelled, "No!" And he got mad and he threw it down the thing down the floor and ran in the room crying. Markel said, "What happened?" I said, "He went to plug the thing in." Markel said, "Oh yeah, he knows how to do it. Don't worry about it." I didn't know. My instinct was protect. Daddy was like, "No, I watched him and made sure he knew what to do and what not to do. And he knows how to look at the thing at less than 2 years old and say, oh, it needs to be charged, and he plugged it in." It's not coming on. You plug it in. He knows how to do it. Okay. I yelled at him because he was going toward the plug. Daddy's going, "Listen. I'm going to yell at you if I see you going towards something that you're not supposed to be touching. But I might yell at you and say, don't you do that." And then she'll go do it and God won't check her. And you get mad at God. "Well, wait a minute. I was trying." God was like, "She know how to do it and you don't. And even if you do, so what? I said, don't touch it. What's it to you?" Isn't that what Jesus said to Peter? "What's it to you if I ask him to stay?" The next big part of the relationship phase is this. Say this with me. My relationship with my dad, God, is individual. I am not focused or concerned nor meddling in anybody else's. So what? If God let me do, I said, "God, Jeff don't ever have to worry about weight like that. Jeff is complaining. He got a little thing right here. I get all blown up. If I eat what Jeff eat, I look like, you know, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man." God said, "So? You can't eat like Jeff. That's it. End of the conversation. Jeff can't play music like you. That's it. Your guy, I gave each of your different gifts. You work with yours. Let him work with his." I was somewhere not too long ago saying, "God, you know, this hair, this thing, here, this whole deal, just trying to figure this out. Oh, man, it's overwhelming, frustrating." And God said to me so clearly, "You want a job? I'm good. It's not frustrating at all. This is good. This is good work. This is good. I love this. This is good. This, mwah, mwah. Love it. But we have to stop sometime. And in the asking," oh, babies, are you hearing me today? Are you hearing my heart, not just not my words? In the asking, in the seeking, in the knocking, you're being matured. You're being challenged. You're being enlightened. And things are opening up as you begin to ask correctly, as you begin to seek with the right heart, as you begin to knock on the right door. You begin to understand, "God, this is a covenant statement. This whole thing is, but a father like me knows how to take care of you. So what you need to do is keep asking."
Hey, hallelujah.
You just got to keep knocking. Don't get frustrated. Don't give up. Stop being exasperated with God and getting an attitude when it don't happen the way you think it should. Learn to trust. Learn to trust. If you know how to take care of your child, he knows how to take care of his child. Stop telling God how to raise you. Stop. He ain't going to listen anyway. And I don't like them situations where God say to me, "Okay, you want to go? Go ahead." Now when I hear that, I'm like, "Okay, never mind." Some people are like, "And I'm going to do it too." And they fall on their face. Well, the Lord had to let that happen. No, you decided to do it and he let you, got a free will. He let you do what you want to do and get the consequences that you got. Now, when you come back, he'll wipe you off. He say, "Okay, the way I want it done is still the way we're doing it."
That's right.
See, that's the thing. You don't go out there and try it your way and come back and say, okay, God, well, can you at least kind of, no. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to hurt you, to give you a hope in the future, to give you, not for you to give me, for me to give you. Not to cooperate with you in your future, to give you one.
That's right.
Here's where I'm going to wrap this. Say, I am
well provided for.
All things that pertain to life and godliness, God has us covered. What I'm learning in this thing, I used to hear people say it, and it was so corny because it wasn't biblical, but I started to get the point. Let go and let God. I would hear people say that. I would say, what the heck does the let go and let God? What, let go of what? Here's what I'm saying. Your fears, your worries, your tribulations, your doubts, your anxieties, and more important than all of that, your control. Ask. Ask again. Seek. Seek again. Knock. Knock again. Why ask God for this? And I wound up over here and I don't understand what the point of it was. But one of the things I've said to people that work close with me, I mentor all the time. While you're there, get all you can get. Anybody that works with me closely and I mentor closely, I say all the time, if you're here and you don't understand why you're here, get all the information you can get while you're here. Load it up, because when you move to the next realm of things, I've done businesses that didn't do what I thought they would do or didn't prosper the way that I thought they would. But the wealth of knowledge and insight, the last thing I said, this is, I feel like I'm in college. And now in the business deals I'm doing today are just flowing so smooth because of the education I got from that one. I know what to ask for in the meeting. I know, okay, you got to keep control of your vision. You can't let people keep inputting, well, maybe it should be this, or maybe you could do this, or maybe you could do that. And I'm running into that right now. Well, maybe you should do that. Okay, that's out. You finished? We're doing this. But you don't think we could do this? If time down the road, we could do that. But for today, we're doing this, and that's all we're talking about. Are we clear? I don't care if you're the investor. I don't care who you are. We're doing this. Are we clear? Are we on the same page? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I just want to make sure, you know, see what you thought. Okay. And I had to say, do me a favor. Don't just spitball at me ever again. If you got ideas and stuff to me, don't come in the meeting and start spitballing. This ain't spitballing time. We know what, we ain't at spitballing phase. You get to the spitballing phase when you run out of ideas, and now you need some new ideas. Now we spitball. I know what we're doing. So here's what we do. For now on, you put that in writing in the document and give me the what, where, why, and hows and all of that. And then you send that to me, and then I decide if it gets spitballed in the meeting. How's that? And I'm standing there going, you're the only person in the room that looked like this. That's a lot of, but it is what it is. It is what it is. It ain't got nothing to do with color. It has to do with, here's what I'm here to do. And you've decided to do it with me, and this is the way the vision is, and I'm not going to let anybody deviate me this time from the vision by throwing a whole bunch of ideas and random thoughts at me. I know what I'm doing. I'm not asking your opinion. If you got some direction, I'll hear it. And this is for you, and God told me to tell you this too, Ron, right here on the message, and this is a good place to wrap it up. If you know what your vision is and you know what you're doing, don't ever go to another person and say, what do you think? You tell them what you think, and if they randomly offer it, you decide if you want to accept it. But the moment you tell people, tell me what you think I should do, you forfeit your business to them. It becomes their dream. You heard it. Don't do that ever again. Amen. And goodbye. Amen.